Okay, let's get started with Netilat Yadayim L'Seuda, Perek Bet, Seif Aleph, Tumat Yadayim. Netilat Yadayim, Hi Echad Mishava Mitzvot, Shetiknu Chachamim. Netilat Yadayim is one of seven mitzvot that the rabbis were metaken. Obviously, we're familiar with much more than seven things that the rabbis were metaken, but most of them are gates and law, fences around pre-existing laws. Netilat Yadayim was a rabbinic invention, so to speak. Kedei la'avin et shorash taknatam sheyesh lakdim tchila, shal pi haTorah kol haguf nichshav liyechida achad l'inyan tumah v'tahara, o shekulo taor, shekulo tameh. First, to understand just a little bit about the background of this gzera, it's important to mention that from the Torah's perspective, the entire body is like one entity for the purposes of tumah and tahara. You're either all pure or all impure. There's no different parts of the body are pure or impure. Kelomar im ever echad meivarei haguf naga ba'echad ha'tumot, azay haguf kulo nitma. Lamashal hanogei ba'raglo b'met, lo rak ha'regel nitma, ela kol haguf nitma. Right? So if your leg touches a dead body, your entire body is tameh. There's no distinction. V'chein ha'tahara tzecha lechlol et kol haguf. And because you're all impure, you're all tameh, the purification process has to go on the entirety of the body, not just the eivor, not just the limb that touched the tameh thing. So when you go to the mikvah, you immerse your entire body. Right? And in addition, an extension of this din, the Chachamim were established that there is a unique status to the hands. And because the hands are always engaged in action, doing things, touching things, we're always concerned that they're going to be touching things that are tame. So the Chachamim established that the hands have a particular status when it comes to tumah, because it's more likely that they're engaged in touching tummy things than any other part of the body. Right, but with regard to the hands, that we treat them differently than the rest of the body for the sake of tumah and tahara, this kind of went through a series of different phases until we have the tekana that we know today. Initially, Shlomo Melech just established Netilat Yadayim for the sake of eating korbanot. Shakol shebal ingoa biyadav bekorban chayav litol et yadav tchila v'im nagav lo litol et yadav timet basar hakorban u paslo me'achila. That anyone who's going to eat korban had to wash their hands. You didn't wash your hands, and you touched the korban, it was pasul, and you weren't allowed to eat it anymore. B'tukvat beit hamikdash sheni teknu beit shammai beit hillel shegam l'inyan truma yadayim tmeot. And Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel extended this din into eating truma for the Kohanim, that they have to wash their hands beforehand. Shkolon regev et truma v'lo netila pasalotah me'achila v'kedei shelo yikashlu b'achilat tzrichah l'chisofa. And if you did touch truma without washing your hands, you had to burn the truma so that no one made a mistake and ate it accidentally. Samuch l'moed chovaram beit ha'mikdash sheni chivu ha'beit ha'mikdash hirchivu chachamim et ha'mitzvah v'kavu sh'asur l'echol lechem l'lo netila idayim. And towards the destruction of the second Beit HaMikdash, the Chachamim established that before all bread, you need to wash your hands before eating. And two reasons were provided for the implementation or the extension of this din to washing your hands before all bread. Two reasons were provided. Right, one of them is for the sake of is quasi concern surrounding matters of Tumah and Tahara. Because the Kohanim had to wash their hands before they sat down to a meal of Truma, Chachamim wanted that this practice would become deeply rooted within Klal Yisrael, that it would become second nature for the Kohanim and they wouldn't come to make a mistake. So the Chachamim goes there that everyone should be washing their hands before eating bread. So when they sit down for a suda, you wash your hands. So the Kohanim will become second nature for them also to wash their hands. Even though it's not properly relevant today because we don't have Beit HaMikdash and we don't have the eating of Truma, Betahara, still, because of Mehera Yibane HaMikdash, we anticipate the coming of the Beit HaMikdash, we still practice many of the dinim that pertain to the Beit HaMikdash. It's important to make a distinction, Rav Malama doesn't write this, it's important to make a distinction between two different similar terms that the Gemara tends to use around practicing things that were only kept in the Beit HaMikdash, still doing them today when there is no Beit HaMikdash. One is Zecher LaMikdash, or Zecher LaChorban, right? it's really three different terms. One is Zecher LeMikdash, right? One is just recalling the Mikdash. It's kind of, it's a lamentation. It's so that the importance and significance of the role the Beit HaMikdash played in our lives doesn't leave us entirely over an extended galut. So we do a lot of things to recall the Beit HaMikdash. And then there's this other one, Mehera Yibane HaMikdash, right? You know, the Beit HaMikdash should be built quickly. The two gzeras, or the two categories of gzeras, are very different. Even though they're both categories of things that we do that aren't exactly relevant because of the time, because we don't have the Beit HaMikdash, we do them because they were done in the Beit HaMikdash. They're two very different ideas. One is to lament the loss of the Beit HaMikdash, and one is to encourage the anticipation of the building of the Beit HaMikdash. See, when we first lost the Beit HaMikdash, the entire nation was completely disheartened. And so that we wouldn't become too upset or become too... Or lose hope that we would ever see the Beit HaMikdash again, meaning this was the center of all of our religious life. It was so hard to move on without it. We didn't even know what religion looked like without it. So the Chachamim were established certain mitzvot, Mehera Yibane HaMikdash, or rather they maintained certain dinim that weren't exactly relevant without a Beit HaMikdash, Mehera Yibane HaMikdash, right? So give the people the opportunity who didn't know what religion was without a Beit HaMikdash, who felt so, lost and helpless and hopeless without a Beit HaMikdash, to feel like they were still a part of the Beit HaMikdash in a sense, saying, Mehera Yibane HaMikdash, let's anticipate the Beit HaMikdash will be rebuilt soon, and because of that, we should still keep doing all these things that we were doing then. It was a way to kind of restore hope that the Beit HaMikdash was going to be seen speedily in our days, and not to lose hope entirely as we went out into an extended galut. והטעם השני, מפני שהידיים הסקניות בתוך כך, הן נוגעות במקומות שיש בהן זע, או במקומות מתונפים, והן ראוי לאכול בידיים מזוהמות. And the additional reason is because the hands are dirty, they're constantly touching things, constantly doing things, and it's not proper to eat a meal with hands that are disgusting, so you have to wash them for purity and cleanliness. וכדי לשמור על טהרת האכילה וקדושתה, תתנו חכמים לטלת ידיים לפני הסעודה. ואפילו מי שידיו נקיות, כגון שזה אתה רחצם במים עם סבון, צריך לטול את ידיו לפני אכילת הלחם, כדי And even if your hands are clean, still, nonetheless, you have to be mekayim this din, and specifically be mindful of the fact that you're purifying your hands for the sake of being involved in something very significant, something very important, and that is a seuda. Netilat yadayim lifnei ha-seuda. So, netilat yadayim before you start your meal. Kedei la'asbir et ha-tam ruchani le-mitzvah netilat yadayim, yesh hakdim shebekom ככל שמדובר בפעולה חיונית יותר עבור אדם, כך השפעתה לטוב ולרע מרובה יותר. Right. So before we get into kind of the spiritual implications or the deeper implications of the mitzvah of Netilat Yadayim, it's important to mention that whenever you're involved in something that is more essential to a person's life, meaning that it is just more of a fundamental aspect of their existence, so doing it right is going to be that much better, and doing it wrong is going to be that much worse. And for that reason, around eating, which is one of the most essential, necessary, important components of a person's life, there are a tremendous amount of halachot, because the more essential it is to our lives, the more we have to be careful about doing it properly, because the more it could be good and the more it could be bad. Ki efshar lechol kedei lesapek ta'anug rege'i, efshar lechol kedei lekabel koach lechayim mela'e tochen u'mashmot. Because you could eat just to satiate an immediate desire that you may have, right? Which is kind of a shallow way of eating. It's an animalistic way of eating. But you could also eat in order to see the food as fuel to give yourself koach, in order that you can execute your mission in this world. Without it, you wouldn't have the energy to do what's necessary. בכל ההלכות שנאמרו בענייני האכילה, מכוונות למטרה אחת, כדי שהאוכל יגביר בנו את הרגשות הטובות, ויתן לנו כוח להתרומם ולעסוק בתיקון העולם, ולא ישפיל את נפשנו לתוך תאוות אכילה חומרית נטולת תוכן רוחני. And all the dinim, all the halachot, the many, many halachot that we know that surround eating, all have one objective at the end of the day. and that is to direct our eating towards a spiritual purpose. To direct our eating towards seeing the eating as something that is holy, that is supposed to give us energy, that is supposed to fuel us in order to execute what we're supposed to do in this world, in order to bring us closer to Kodesh Baruch Hu, in order to see ourselves as, in order to have the koach necessary to do what we need to do in the world, and not in order to see food as a fueling of your physical desires, right? Food can be, you know, can be the most necessary thing that you need in order to perform your function in this world on any basic level. And it could also turn into one of the most physical endeavors that's just all meant to fuel your desire, your physical desire, and it can become a very, very quickly become a very animalistic endeavor. So all the halachot that we have surrounding eating, what we eat and when we eat and how we eat and how much we eat, is just to reframe this activity, right, outside the context of the way that animals do it and inside the context of how it's appropriate for humans to do it. And because bread is the primary source of sustenance, this became the thing that we had to wash for. Right? The hands are the most, you know, critical part of our actions. The hands are what executes our actions. They have the power to do good, and they have the power to do bad. אנו מתארים את הידיים מזוהמה שדבקה בהן תוך עיסוקי העולם ומקדשים אותן לקראת סעודה כדי שנוכל לשאוב מן האוכל את החיוניות ונצרכת לחיים מלאים תוכן ערכי. So as we discussed, because the hands have kind of this particular relationship with action and with activity, and they are also most susceptible to becoming dirty and becoming tame, when we want to sit down and frame our seuda, our eating, our meal, in the best, most positive context, we want it to be a meal of kedusha, of sanctity, so we have to go through a tahara process. Right? We have to purify our hands, because before we even start eating, when you purify yourself, you're putting yourself in a mindset that I'm about to do something that can be very, very significant, and very, very important, and very pure, and l'shem shemayim. And so because we wash our hands, we put ourselves in that mindset that that's what this seuda is. This seuda is not about fueling my physical taivas. It's not about fueling my physical desires. This seuda is about you know, giving myself the energy that I need to execute my purpose in this world, to follow Kadosh Baruch Hu in this world, to perform mitzvot in this world. And because of that, what better way to start your seuda with a small act of purification to put yourself in that mindset? Right? And that is what Chazal said, which is a very, very interesting statement that we'll see just a little bit more in depth, that anyone who eats bread without washing their hands, it's like they slept with a prostitute. How do you get from one to the other? Right? Both love and food are two of the most fundamental, critical things in a person's life. Right? And because they're so fundamental to us, right, they are the most, you know, potentially positive and the most potentially detrimental. And there is a way to do it properly in Bekdusha and Bitahara, and there's a way to do it in the exact opposite way. Right? And that exists by both of them. Right? Just like the Torah commanded us not to sleep with prostitutes or outside the context of marriage. Rather, it should only be in a context of a certain degree of kedusha, of purity and of sanctity. So too, our eating needs to be in the context of purity and sanctity. And so the Netil Yadayim is supposed to remind us that this is an endeavor that's supposed to be about sanctity and about kedusha and not about fueling our desires. And so Chazal kind of compared one to the other to remind us what the purpose of the Netilat Yadayim was. Remember, you're about to do something that could be potentially very, very animalistic, that you're certainly fueling a desire that you have, an animalistic desire that you have. Remember, wash your hands and do it b'tahara. Remember why you're doing this. Aval misha ochel b'lo netilah ki'ilu ochel lechem tameh, shekenu mityaches rak l'tzad ha'gashmi shebelechem. Right? So when you don't wash your hands, it's like you're only relating to the physical side of eating, as opposed to the spiritual side as well. Only the one who is eating the bread needs to wash his hands, right? If someone's feeding you, the person who's touching the bread doesn't actually need to wash his hands, which is interesting. You do, even though you're not touching it, or if you're eating with a fork and a knife. אבל אדם שאינו מתכוון לאכול בעצמו, אפילו אם ייגע בלחם כדי להאכיל אדם אחר, אין צריך ליטול ידיים. כי תקנת הנטילה נועדה לתאר ולקדש את האדם לקראת אכילתו, ולכן רק מי שעומד לאכול בעצמו צריך ליטול ידיו. Right, so, and if you're going to touch bread, but you have no intention of eating the bread, you don't have to wash your hands, right? And that kind of reinforces what we said earlier, that the reason for this is not because we're concerned that we're going to make something tameh, as was once the concern regarding, let's say, the truma and regarding the korbanot. The reason for this is a much deeper spiritual idea of reframing our meals in the context of sanctity as opposed to in the context of animalistic desires. So even if you're touching bread, and if the concern was about spreading tuma, then you just spread the tuma. Touching bread, you don't have to because you're not eating, so you don't need this enactment to reframe your eating. Makom hanetila. לדעת רשי והראש עוד ועוד הרבה פוסקים מהנטילה צריכים לשטוב את כל האצבעות עד מקום חיבורן לכף היד. So according to many of the Rishonim, you're supposed to wash your hands until your fingers connect to your palms. אבל את כף היד אין צריך לשטוב. לעומת זאת, לדעת הריף והרמב״ם ועוד פוסקים, החיוב הנטילה כולל את כל כף היד. מקצועות אצבעות ועד מקום חיבורה של כף היד לזרוע. Right? However, other Rishonim, the Rif and the Rambam, believe that the Netilat Yadayim is around the entirety of the hand, not just your finger, including your palm and the back of your hand, up until your wrist. ואף שמיקר הדין, היה אפשר להקל שכן מצווה נטילה מדברי חמים, נפסק להלכה, שראוי להחמיר ולטול את כל הכף היד, עד המקום חיבורה לזרוע, וזו מפני שמבורה בתלמוד, שכל מזל בזה נטילת ידיים, מגיע לידי עניות. And so even though we could have said, listen, this is a mitzvah derabanan, generally in mitzvah derabanan, we're making, so let's be lenient here. Even still, we said it's ra'ui lachmir, it's really fit, it's proper to be more machmir in this case, by netilat yadayim, because we have a gemara in Shabbat that strongly advises us or warns us against belittling the significance of Netilat Yadayim. And so in order not to come to belittle this, we don't rely on the more Mekel Shita, and we say it's more appropriate to be more Machmir, and when you do Netilat Yadayim, it should really go around your entire hand up to the wrist. V'amar Rav Chizda al atzmo shano eg litol yadav v'shefa maim ubizchut zeh zacha la shirut. V'kach ra'ui lader v'lishpoch maim v'shefa al kol kaf hayad v'lo lekametz v'litol et ha'etzbaot bilvad. So the Gemara in Shabbat that stresses it's important says anyone who doesn't wash their hands before eating comes to poverty. And Rav Chizda said about himself that he was always very, very machbit about Netilat Yadayim, and that's why he's so wealthy. Again, don't know exactly what the Gemara is trying to indicate on a deeper level, but either way, it conveys to us the point that you're supposed to be very, very careful in terms of Netilat Yadayim, and so it's proper to be more machmir. Omnam b'shal etchak kasher yesh me'ad maim, or kasher yesh namtzayim b'kav hayad, nidan lesmoch al adeya mekila v'tot et ha'etzpaot bilvad im bracha. Right. However, b'shal etchak, right? You don't have another option. You don't have enough water, or you have, let's say, you're injured in the back of your hand, so you can't wash it, or it's going to hurt to wash it. So you can rely on the more mekel shita and just wash the fingers and still make a bracha. Roi la'imor al kach. שכל מסכימים שצריך ליטול את האצבעות ומחלוקת לגבי כף היד. Right? It's important just to note that everyone agrees that the fingers need to be washed. The only מחלוקת surrounds the palm. הכלל הוא שהתומה נדבקת יותר בקצה הגוף של האדם. And the reason for this is much, much deeper. This is because we believe that tuma, that impurity, is more linked to the edge of the body. right? And why would that be the case? ולכן ברור שהתאומה שורה על האצבעות יותר מאשר על כף היד. And if that's true, then the tuma would seem to be stronger on the edge of the extremities. אפשר להסביר בטעם הדבר שפניות של האדם תורה. רצונו הפנימי מכוון לטוב, ואילו הסיבוכים והתאומה נובעים מהפגישה עם העולם החיצוני. Right? And you could explain it as follows. We believe that deep down and on the inside, every person is tahor. Every person is pure. Every person has the right rutzon, the rutzon to do good in this world. And where they mess up and where they come to struggles is in their encounter with the outside world, right? Where the best intentions kind of meet the practical, difficult dilemmas that are going to challenge them, and that's where we struggle, is not from the inside, but rather from the outside that really pushes us in a negative direction. ולכן התאומה שורה יותר בקצה הגוף של אדם ומקום מרוחק ממרכז גופו ומליבו, שרומז לפנימיות התאורה שבו, כמו שנאמר, לב תאורה ברא לי אלוקים. Right, and as such, the tuma, the impurity, is most connected to the very, very edge of our body, the edge of our extremities, the part that is furthest away from you know, the center of our bodies, and it's reminiscent of this idea that it's really the outside that causes us to go astray, but on the inside we have the proper desires to do what is right. ועיקר יעודו של האדם להתמודד עם העולם החיצוני, לתקנו ולרוממו, ותפקיד זה מתבצע בפועל בידיים, של ידן הוא פועל ועושה ונושא ונותן. And the function of a human being in this world is not to ignore the world around him, rather to be a part of it, and to be a part of correcting it, to be a part of fixing it. And he does that primarily through his actions, and actions are representative by the hands. אלא שתוך כדי יציאתו של האדם אל התמודדות החיצונית, הוא עלול להתלחלק ולהתאמם מן הזוהמה שבעולם. Right? And in a person's endeavors, that he does, even with the best intentions, he is very likely to be affected by the filth of the world around him. ותומעה זו נדבק בהצבעות שהן קצה הגוף והן העוסקות בענייני העולם. And that tuma, that impurity, attaches itself to the edge of the body, right? It's the furthest thing away from you, right? It's where you kind of meet the environment around you. ונחגו בשאלה, האם גם כף היד כלולה בקצה הגוף, המקבל תומעה, או שמה רק האצבעות? Right? And so the question of how far do you need to wash your hands is a much deeper question of you know, the degree to which when we say that the tuma is have a stronger presence around the tips of your extremities and on the tips of your fingers, are we saying that is just kind of the very most edge your fingers, or does that apply to the palms as well? Okay, now we're going to get into a little background into mitzvot from the Chachamim altogether. In order to give proper context to Netilat Yadayim, we need to understand a little bit about the general process of the Chachamim implementing different things, different mitzvot. Bracha al mitzvah Chachamim. Right? So what does it mean to make a bracha on something that the rabbis told us to do? Netilat Yadayim hi echad misheva mitzvot shetiknu Chachamim. ונתנה התורה כוח ביד חכמים לקבוע מצוות שנאמר, ושמעת לעשות ככל אשר יראוך לא תסור מן הדבר אשר יגידו לך ימין ושמאל. As we said earlier, the נטילת ידיים is one of the seven mitzvot that the chachamim were metaken from themselves. The Torah gave them the koach to do so, an explicit pasuk that commands us to listen to anything that the chachamim teach us, and we're not allowed to stray from what they tell us, not to the right and not to the left. Just as a by the way, I'll point out what the other six mitzvot are. Rav Malamed includes them down at the bottom. He says kriyat halel bezmanam yudiyam ha yiduim, so halel, kriyat megillah bepurim, megillah, nerot chanukah, nerot shabbat, netilat yadayim, birkat hananin, birkat mitzvot, birkat shevach ubirkat bakasha, and eruv. Right, these are the seven mitzvot that the rabbis really made, in a sense. And that is the reason why we're able to say that a bracha on Netilat Yadayim, that that Kibyachol was HaKadosh Baruch Hu who commanded us to do Netilat Yadayim, which is difficult because HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't command us to do Netilat Yadayim. Shav Shal Netilat Lo Nizkara B'Torah Shebichtav Nitzavenu L'Kayim Et Takanot HaChamim V'Chein Anu Omrim Esher Gishanu Mitzav V'Tzivanu. Because even though this takana is not mentioned anywhere in the Torah, because we are obligated by the Torah to listen to the rabbis, and the rabbis implemented this law, so we do have a certain degree of it's like the Torah is obligating us to do that, and by making the bracha of Asher Kidshanu that you commanded us, God, that's in recognition of the fact that the Torah expects us to follow the words of the Chachamim. ויש לדעת, שאף שמבחינה עקרונית ברור שהמצוות שיסודן בתורה שבכתב חשובות מהמצוות שמדברי חכמים, וכן ישנו כלל הלכתי שבכל מצב של ספק, אם מקור המצווה בתורה שבכתב צריכים להחמיר, ואם בדברי חכמים מקילים. Right, so now obviously it goes without saying that the Torah level commandments do have a significance that rabbinic commandments do not have, and we regard them as such, and we have a general rule that when you have a doubt when it comes to a commandment, and that doubt and that commandment is of a Torah level, then you're more stringent in that case. But when you have a doubt when it comes to a commandment, and that commandment is on a rabbinic level, then you're allowed to be lenient. Mekol makom. Mibchina mesuyemet chavivin divrei chachamim yoter midivrei Torah. However, in a certain regard, the laws from the Rabbanim are a little bit more precious to us than even the laws from the Torah. How so? V'zod mipnei shadavka mipnei elyonota v'kedushata shel Torah shebichtav kasher lanu leipagesh im omek ha'elyonota v'lachen kasher lanu lishmor al mitzvoteha. Right? Because the Torah is so deep and complicated, it is so beyond us. Right? It wasn't produced by human knowledge, and therefore so much of its concepts and its ideas are going to be above and beyond our heads. We're not going to be able to fathom them. So sometimes it's difficult to really connect to them and to really attach ourselves to the ideas, because they weren't produced by man, and we don't fully understand even what we're doing. And for that purpose, writes Rav Melamed, and this is such a beautiful idea, I've really never heard it phrased this way, to be honest. For that purpose, the Torah not only gave the rabbis the permission to enact gzeras, but commanded them to do so, to set up gates around the Torah level laws on a rabbinic level. And what did that accomplish? B'milim acherot, המצוות מדברי חכמים הם גשר הכרחי שבין האדם והתורה האלוקית. Right? So in other words, the rabbinic mitzvot are not just a gate stopping you from violating something worse, but they are a bridge. A bridge between you and the Torah. A bridge between human beings who are physical and the Torah, which is all from Shemayim. The Torah which is full of ideas that we'll never fully contemplate, we'll never fully understand, we'll never fully wrap our minds around. And the mitzvot that we can never fully grasp. So the rabbinic laws are not just there to stop us from doing something worse. They're there to serve as a platform to bring us closer to Torah, to connect us to something that is so far beyond us, right? It's a human bridge. It's built by human beings. It's built by the Rabbanim, in a sense, to connect human beings to the Chachma Elokit, to the Torah, to the ideas that may be slightly beyond us. And, you know, by that, by following the advice of the Chachamim to come closer to God, we have a bridge built by people who understand what we understand, who can give laws that we can wrap our minds around in order to bring us closer to that which is a little bit beyond us. Shekein mitzvot elu mivat'ot et harayon eloki kefi shehu mitkabel b'olam hazeh bedatam ha'enoshit shel Chachmei Yisrael. Benosaf lazeh yesh בתקנות חכמים משום אהבת רצון מצידנו להוסיף לקבל על עצמנו עוד מצוות כדי להתקדש ולהתקרב יותר אל השלמות. And furthermore, this additional element when it comes to keeping these mitzvot, that it does show from our side, it shows a bit of our desire to do whatever we can to get closer to God. And not just everything that we absolutely must do, but we're looking, always looking for more ways to come closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ukadesh lo yizalzilu b'divrei chachamim. Asu chachamim chizuk ledivreim yoter maasher ledivrei Torah. Right? And in order to, so that we don't come to belittle the significance of mitzvot midrabanan, they establish certain ways to strengthen the practice of the mitzvot midrabanan. V'chem nisupar b'mishnah she Elazar ben Chanoch pikpek b'takanat nitilat yadayim v'nidu to chachamim. Right? And similarly, it's told in the Mishnah in Eduyot, and we actually quoted this in Daf Yomi and Brachot not too long ago, that Elazar ben Chanoch debated with himself. He wasn't sure as to the significance of keeping the yadayim, and so the chasal and so the chachamim put him in chayrim at the time because he was belittling the significance of Netzilat Yadayim in particular, and Gzeirat Chachamim on the whole. Ukshemet shalchu beit din venicho et even al arono shekol amet benidui soklin et arono. Right, and to further kind of the disgrace, when he died, they put a massive stone on his coffin, because there's a principle that anyone who dies in cherem, anyone who dies in excommunication, you're supposed to stone his coffin, basically. V'chol mispar b'tal v'chein mispar b'talmud al Rabbi Akiva shebeit ziknato nikla al yidei haromayim v'chol yom ayam mevilo Yeshua misharto ochel amayim l'shtiyan v'tilat yadayim. Right. So when Rabbi Akiva was older, he was arrested in prison by the Romans, and Yoshua, his assistant, would bring him water and food. He'd bring enough water to drink and to wash his hands. Yom echad shafach asoar chetzi min amayim ad shelo notar behem shiur maspik l'ntiyah v'shtiyah. Right, one day the guard poured out half the water, so he didn't have enough for both drinking water and washing his hands. Hadif Rabbi Akiva l'shtamesh b'otam amayim l'ntiyah v'lo shtiyah. Rabbi Akiva preferred to use that water for washing his hands and not for drinking. V'af shemitzad adin, matzav shel ones kaze, haya patur mitzal yadayim, hedif rabiki v'lachmir al atzmo, v'saken krimat nafsho b'tzama bilvad, shiyakayem et divrei chamim shtiknu litol yadayim lefnei ha-seudah. And even though there was absolutely no requirement or expectation for Rabbi Akiva to do nitilat yadayim at this time, in his current situation, he would have been completely exempt from it. Still, on a personal level, he preferred to be engaged in the mitzvah of nitilat yadayim, more so than he would wanted to drink at that time. This is only water for the day. Alayim sichut nefesh, nafsho, limed Rabbi Akiva את כולנו, הכמה חשוב לדקדק בקיום דבריהם של חכמים. And because of Rabbi Akiva's tremendous commitment, he really taught us the significance of committing to Netilat Yadayim and holding the Gzeirat Derabanan in the highest of esteem. Okay, we'll stop here and continue next year from Netilat Yadayim L'Dvar Shetibulo B'mashke. Tibul B'mashke is something we really are only familiar with from Seder night. Let's get a little bit of the background. What are the halachas? Does it apply today? Does it not apply today? And why or why not?